the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
I don't know when this whole ransomware thing started. Basically, hackers will break into your computer. They will encrypt all of your information. And then when you go in and try to access it, it isn't there. So they will get in touch with you and they will say, hey, you want your information back? You pay us so much money and we'll tell you how to unencrypt your information. Well, that happened out at Dorchester District 2 over the summer. They had a ransomware attack. It looks like they paid almost $3,000 to have the information unencrypted. But how can you protect yourself? Let's go to Jamie Mellis. He's on with us. You can always hear him here with Software Solutions. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. When did this whole ransomware phenomenon start?
Well, ransomware itself has been around for a very long time.
Yeah?
So it's not just a new thing. I mean, I can remember going back probably more than 10 years ago, and I think, you know, ransomware had been around even at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's getting much more popular now because it makes it very easy for the bad guys to make quick money.
Right.
You know, you do a big credit card breach, and, you know, you may have 100 million credit card numbers, but you can't just go out and sell that tomorrow.
Right,
whereas
yeah.
With ransomware, it's very quick money, and they're usually asking for Bitcoin, which makes it even pretty much impossible to trace.
So do insurance companies, I mean, apparently they pay up on some of this stuff, right?
Well, I think you need to make sure your insurance company or that you have cyber liability coverage. I know that some of the companies are now making you buy that as a separate option to be able to get that type of coverage. And so you need to do a yearly review on your insurance just to make sure that you do have coverage in case that something like this does happen.
Now, what's the difference between ransomware and malware?
So the term malware means malicious software.
Mm-hmm.
So this is obviously being malicious, so this can fall into the malware category. It could also be a virus, and the reason why I say that is because it said that 25 of 65 servers were compromised.
Wow.
And so if that's the case, you know, virus, part of that definition says that in order to be a virus, it has to be able to infect other machines.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could fall into that category as well. So definitely, in my book, it definitely falls into both of them, malware and as well as a virus.
So what is Dorchester District 2? What's their option? I mean, they paid for it, but now we hear that they're having to go in and re-enter all of their data?
Well, from my understanding from a letter that I saw is that apparently maybe it's just 25 students, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a whole lot. It looks like one of the servers was not recoverable. And as a result of that, they're going to have to enter in a small amount of data manually,
right?
To get that those two. And they said they were going to go back to the parents to get some of that data, and they were going to other sources. So, for me, the lesson learned from this would be, why not make sure that you got a good backup, so that in the event that you do have something like this hit, you got to. And I don't know that nothing was mentioned about that in the letter that I saw. Whether they did or didn't have a backup, or what they needed to recover this. So it was just a little surprising to see that if it was a school district that they didn't have a backup to recover from.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised about that too. So how can we as just individuals protect ourselves? Is our antivirus enough? Whatever we have on our computer that's protecting us, our firewall, is that enough for just you and me?
Not necessarily. Antivirus programs today can protect against some malware.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they do look for now is behavioral, what things that the programs are trying to do on your computer. So it's an antivirus program basically just looks at known types of viruses out there, and it can block or protect you from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really not enough anymore. An antivirus program, by that definition, really is not very helpful. Because new stuff, new viruses, malware, and Trojans, and so forth, those are all coming out every day.
Right.
And so antivirus is more of a reactive product. So a lot of them today are now adding that behavioral analysis in, and they're trying to look at what's going on, or they may be trying to look for specific types of exploits. And so the more current antivirus programs can help in that respect, but they can, I don't think any of them can block all types of ransomware.
So the best thing to do, back up.
In my book, that's really the only way, because, Charlie, you can get this just going to a website,
yeah.
And this is where a lot of this is coming from. You know, a lot of these websites are being compromised, and then you go to the site. You don't have to really do anything other than just simply land on the page, and mm-hmm. you could get infected, email and so forth. So it's pretty tough out there trying to stay safe. So you just need to make sure you got a good recovery option in the event that you do get hit.
There you go. All right, Jamie Mellis from Software Solutions and Design. We appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very much for the info. You too. Man, it's scary out there. Bad guys are everywhere.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good Friday morning, September the 1st. Bye-bye, August. We have a chance of rain coming up over the next, month and a half. We'll just say that. It just seems like it has been raining constantly here in the Low Country. But we can keep our fingers crossed for very nice weather coming up on Wednesday as the River Dogs have a playoff game. And WTMA is having another sweet night with the River Dogs. And I will take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. You will win 2 tickets to join us in one of those great suites out there at the Joe Riley Stadium. It's going to be fantastic. It's sponsored by attorney Trey Harrell. You don't want to miss out on this. Of course, this is a Wednesday, September the 6th game, first game of the playoffs for the River Dogs. And we're going to get out there and root on Charlie and the River Dogs and make sure that they bring home a victory in that. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be great for them to go all the way? I'll tell you who would be really excited about that? Bill Murray. Bill Murray would throw, there would be a parade in Charleston if they were to win the whole thing. All right, let's go to line number 2 and say, good morning. Who is this?
This is Lorne.
Lorne, how are you, bud?
I am great.
I'm glad to hear it. Well, congratulations, pal. You just picked up 2 tickets to join the WTMA Sweet Night with the River Dogs coming up on Wednesday. How about that, man?
That is awesome. I actually bought a ticket last night when I was at the game, so now I've got extras.
Well, there you go. That sounds great. Well, Lauren, I'm going to put you on hold, and John Quincy is going to get some information from you so you can get out there and join us. We got another pair of tickets to give away coming up at 9:20 this morning. Also at 8:10 this morning, going to be giving away tickets to Bravo Broadway with the North Charleston Pops. That's going to be a night you won't forget. That's going to be fantastic. And at 8:40 this morning, we're going to be talking with some folks that are loading up some trailers and taking supplies to Texas. It is called Operation God Bless Texas. And a lot of folks around South Carolina and some folks here locally are participating in that. And we're going to tell you how you can help those folks out because right now it seems like they've got a ton of supplies, literally a ton of supplies. But what they are looking for is they need help with the fuel cost to get them out there all the way to Houston. So we'll tell you how you can help those folks out this morning because they are still, I think we have not even begun to see the incredible amount of damage that happened to Houston and parts of Louisiana because of Hurricane Harvey. So we'll get an update from them and let you know what they're up to. Also keeping an eye on Hurricane Irma, who is out in the Atlantic, gaining steam. It went from a classic Cape Verde Island storm, and it increased in intensity relatively quickly. We're looking at about a Category 3 right now, 115-mile-an-hour winds. It's making its way westward. Where it is going to end up, we don't know, because there's this high-pressure system kind of off our coast and into the Atlantic down south there. That's keeping this thing down low. If that high-pressure system breaks up over the next couple of days for any reason, then that's going to, you know, give this storm an opportunity to turn north and west, and we don't know what we're looking at here in South Carolina or along the east coast of the United States. So we're going to keep you updated on that this morning as well. Plus, President Trump has promised $1 million of his personal funds to those suffering from Hurricane Harvey.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It is 7:39, 21 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Keeping an eye on Hurricane Irma. We'll have an update on her, I guess. I don't know. You can't assign gender. When is this going to stop? You can't assign, you can't assume a hurricane's gender. What is the matter with you? I'm surprised, surprised the LGBT community hasn't spoken out against that. What if Irma identifies as a male hurricane? You sexist people. All right, 7:40 right now. President Trump has, let Sarah Huckabee Sanders tell you what President Trump is planning on doing.
I had a chance to speak directly with the president earlier, and I'm happy to tell you that he is would like to join in the efforts that a lot of the people that we've seen across this country do. And he's pledging $1 million of personal money to the fund. And he's actually asked that I check with the folks in this room, since you are very good at research and have been doing a lot of reporting into the groups and organizations that are best and most effective in helping and providing aid. And he'd love some suggestions from the folks here, and I'd be happy to take those if any of you have them. But as I said, he'll pledge proudly $1 million of his own personal money to help the people of both Texas and Louisiana.
$1 million from the president of the United States to go to help the people of Texas and Louisiana. Now, there's a lot of rumors going on around right now. There's a lot of rumors about people making big, big donations, and a lot of them are false. You may have heard that Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather are donating large sums of money to Hurricane Harvey. Nope, that's not true. Prince William and Prince Harry, you're hearing that they are donating $100 million. Nope, that's not true. And I think the biggest one was Usain Bolt, the track star. There was this story yesterday, or past couple days, where he was planning on donating $150 million to Hurricane Harvey. And when I first saw that, I was like, is Usain Bolt even worth $150 million that he can just give that away? Well, that turns out to be completely false. A couple of true ones out there. Sandra Bullock has donated $2 million to Hurricane Harvey victims. Good for her. Leonardo DiCaprio has also made a large donation. And, of course, we're hearing that President Trump is doing $1 million now. Listen to this. I checked it out on Snopes, and it says that this story of the Snopes is such crap. This story with President Trump donating $1 million, they're calling it mostly true. It's mostly true. You know why it's mostly true? Because it is unclear as of the 31st of August, 2017, whether or not he has donated yet. We only heard about it yesterday, which was the last time I checked, August 31st, 2017. And you heard Sarah Huckabee Sanders ask for recommendations of where the money should go. Rodney is out in Goose Creek this morning. Rodney, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just want to note the greatness of the American people.
Yeah.
And all expressions of love. And the reason the left and socialists and all don't do that is because, you know, they take guilt and use it against people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they don't want to talk about anything that is truly human and truly, you know, love for people.
Right.
Which we know only comes from God. I deal with a lot of people who have friends who are, you know, they're not Christian. They're leftist. And one of the things that will always bring them up short is when they start talking all this hate stuff.
Yeah,
I just say, you know, yeah, you know, it is really despicable that you want to use people's guilt against, because you're just trying to make them feel guilty.
Yeah.
And it throws the whole conversation over to another whole level that they're not even prepared to deal with.
Right. Well, now, to me, that's where the conversation ends.
Right.
There's no reason to even get involved in a conversation like that with a leftist.
Well, you're right. Some of them, because they're not going. They made up their mind. They're not going. They don't know anything about the love of God, and they don't. They're really not true human. I mean, you know, there's something wrong with their
humanity. Their humanity. You're exactly right. Yeah. I mean, look at the Antifa movement. Rodney, I appreciate you calling in. Look at the Antifa movement. They're saying, you know, there was this peace rally out in San Francisco over the weekend, and these people showed up and started beating the snot out of people because they were anti-fascist. The hypocrisy that is becoming more and more prevalent on the left is just, it's staggering to see. And I think finally, I mean, even people like, you know, we've been talking about this week, Nancy Pelosi has had to come out and admit that Antifa is a violent group. The Joe Scarborough has had to do it. The mayor of Berkeley has had to do it. He's actually telling the police there in Berkeley that Antifa should be considered a street gang. And I absolutely agree. And street gangs should be dealt with accordingly. Just like you wouldn't let the Bloods and the Crips show up, right? You wouldn't let them show up and start rioting. Of course not. You'd start throwing people, putting them in the paddy wagon and taking them off to jail. So more on this coming up. A horrible story from Georgia over in Cobb County about some statements from a police officer that were completely uncalled for.
WTMA! Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
11 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up in just a little bit, about 8:10, we're going to be giving away some tickets to Bravo Broadway. You don't want to miss out on that. A night of incredible Broadway tunes, contemporary and classic, by all the greats. Going to be performed by the North Charleston Pops. They always put on a fantastic show. They are really incredible. Also at 9:25 this morning, we're going to be giving away more tickets to go see the River Dogs play, the first playoff game coming up Wednesday out at the Joe, and it is Flush It Friday, where we are actually going to be flushing the most ridiculous news story of the week. So if you've got any ideas of what the most ridiculous news story of the week might be, well, certainly take those. You can always contact me Facebook or on Twitter or at Charlie@WTMA.com. I've got an idea of what the most ridiculous news story of the week might be, and it has to do with a banana peel. We'll have that for you coming up. But right now, this horrible story coming out of Cobb County, Georgia. A Georgia police officer was captured on camera telling a woman during a traffic stop that law enforcement personnel only kill black people. Here's how that went down.
Go ahead and call them. I'm going to take you to jail, and I'm going to impound the car.
I can't call them if you don't open the door.
Why can't you?
Because I will not put my...
Use your phone. It's in your lap right there.
I just don't want to put my hands down. I'm really sorry. I've just been wasting many videos of problems.
But you're not black. Remember, we only kill black people. Yeah, we only kill black people, right?
Okay.
All the videos you've seen, have you seen black people get killed? You have.
All right, so what I think was happening here was this guy, Lieutenant Greg Abbott, was trying to make a joke. He was trying to de-escalate the situation that was going on. He pulled this woman over. She was obviously DUI. He said, you're going to jail. We're gonna impound your car. You might as well go ahead and call who you need to call. She didn't want to reach for her phone, which, I don't know. If the police officer's standing there telling you to reach for your phone, I think it's okay. I think you're pretty safe in that. So she doesn't want to reach for the phone. So she said, well, I've seen all of these videos of cops shooting people. So what he was trying to do is de-escalate this situation and made a sarcastic joke. Hey, no, you don't have to worry about that. We only kill black people. Well, joke or not, it was unprofessional and it was irresponsible. And now we're hearing that he has announced his intention to leave the Cobb County Police Department. He did this yesterday after his superiors told him that he was going to be fired. This according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Now, we don't know if the police department is going to accept his resignation or follow through with their plans on terminating him. He's been in the law enforcement there with Cobb County for 30 years of government service, and the difference between him getting fired and him retiring are pretty profound when it comes to his retirement benefits. So spokespeople for the police department didn't respond to messages from the Washington Post. Now, again, he's shown on this dash cam video. Now, this was actually took place back over a year ago. This was July of 2016. And how this came up, I don't know. But speaking at a news conference yesterday, Cobb County Police Chief Mike Register described Abbott as an honorable man, but said the officer had made a mistake. He went on to say, "I don't know what's in his heart, but I know what came out of his mouth." So the police department said Wednesday that Register received information late last week about an officer making inappropriate comments, which were captured on that video. We don't know who reported this or what. We don't know if it was the girl that did it or what. But an attorney who represented the driver in the DUI case. So this is how it came up. So it was during this DUI case that I guess this woman was fighting in court where they went back and reviewed this video. She said that she had seen the video while preparing for court last summer and was shocked by what she heard. She said, "I heard that and I cringed. I had to replay it. I thought, there is no way." So, of course, the officer was being sarcastic with the passenger who was giving him some lip. So, Brandy is out in Mount Pleasant, wants to talk about this story. What do you think, Brandy?
Well, the police officer, I heard that and saw it last night on TV, that, you know, it was not malicious. It was instantaneous. There wasn't any thought put in it. I don't think, as an officer, he's been there 30 years. He has a good record. Mm-hmm. He just said something stupid. And we can't be so politically correct that when someone just says something stupid that we throw away 30, you know, you throw the whole baby out with the water, too.
Yeah, but you know, Brandy, I mean, if I'm a member of the black community and I hear a police officer saying something like that, it's going to cause a lot of outrage with me.
It is, and I agree. What he said was totally unprofessional. Mm-hmm. I know what he was trying to do, which is like try to ease the situation. Hey,
right,
you know, we don't take, you know, but nevertheless, it was tacky. But I don't want to be so politically correct in this country that someone can't say something stupid and it's like, oh, it's going to cost you your career. That's going too far the other direction. No one is saying what he said was okay with
right,
anyone.
Yeah.
However, I think that they should just reprimand him or something, let him go so do some work in the black community area for 30 days, you know, on, you know, every other weekend or whatever.
Or at very least, just let him retire.
Well, you don't want to lose a good police officer when they're all getting shot all over the
place. But, you know, I understand that, Brandy. I appreciate you calling in. But, I mean, now you have, because of your words, stupid or not, 30 years of service or not, or what have you, there are what is no are called irrecoverable moments in your life where you say something or you do something and everything changes at that moment. This was that irrecoverable moment for that police officer. And while, you know, I agree, I think it was just trying to be sarcastic, it was just trying to make a silly joke, but it was inappropriate. There's no way you can defend it. And that's not defending it, saying it was a silly joke, because, I mean, some jokes are in bad taste. I thought that was in bad taste, and, you know, there you go. I mean, this is an issue that he's got to live with now for the rest of his life and his family's life, because if they don't let him retire, and if they come along and say, no, we're going to terminate you, well, that seriously affects his quality of life. In his retirement age. So he's been on the force for 30 years. It's just it's a shame that something like that happens. And it's a shame that, that he did that. It really is. So, you know, again, could be losing a good cop because of a stupid mistake. Mistake, completely his fault, completely his responsibility. All of this is on him, every bit of it. And there's been no statement from him, as you can imagine, probably the folks there, his representatives, are not allowing him to talk, which I wouldn't allow him to do that either. So,
well, you know, that kind of taints his record, though.
Yeah.
Because if he arrested any black people for anything,
that's right.
They're going to go back. The attorneys are going to look back and say, "Well, look at this guy," you know, and probably
look at this
some people
DUI.
Could be getting out of jail.
Yeah, look at this DUI that this African American got. I mean, this. Yeah, you're right about that, and I'll guarantee you, there are a lot of lawyers out there. That this guy, you know, that represent clients that he put in jail that are going back, and they're going to say, we want a review of this guy's career and see exactly what happened. So when you are in a position of authority like that, there is a tremendous amount of responsibility that goes with that badge.
Yeah.
And the words that you speak are part of that. So it's a shame that it happened, but You know, it's all his fault, like we say. So it's a difficult situation. All right, coming up at 8:40 this morning, we're going to be talking with some folks here locally that are loading up a truck, and they're going to be heading out to Texas to take supplies to folks who are hurting down there. And also coming up right after the news break here in just a few minutes, are going to be giving away tickets to Bravo Broadway. And it's going to be a fantastic night with the North Charleston Pops. And a Black Lives Matter activist, Chantel Helm, has come up with a list for you white folks out there. We're going to read that to you and tell you exactly what they want you to do with your property. I'm sure a lot of you can guess, right? Okay, all right.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It is September the 1st. It's National Food Bank Day, which is a great day to donate to the food bank of your choice because, you know, they help out folks all over the place, and we've got some folks leaving here in the area that are going to be heading out to Houston to take supplies there. We'll be talking with them right around 8:40 this morning. Also, it is National No Rhyme Nor Reason Day. Okay, fine. I don't know how they come up with these things. It's National Lazy Moms Day. That always happens the first Friday in September. So give mom a day to be lazy today. And it is National Chicken Boy Day. Do you even know what Chicken Boy is? Anybody know it? No, I didn't either, so I had to look it up. And apparently there is a big statue out there in Los Angeles of a chicken man holding a bucket of chicken, which seems kind of creepy to me because he's holding basically his friends there in his hand who have been cooked up in a tasty treat. So each year on September the 1st, people across the United States recognize National Chicken Boy Day in honor of his September 1st ceremonial birthday. He's 22 feet tall, holds a bucket of chicken. It's a fiberglass statue. It's there on Route 66 out there in Los Angeles. A lot of people call it the Statue of Liberty of Los Angeles. Oh, there you go. Iconic statue out there. It's National Chicken Boy Day. Now, if you are an actual chicken boy, we don't want you to get insulted by this. We are celebrating you. If you identify as a chicken, we want to celebrate you. This isn't being chickenist or anything like that, because we all know that we don't make fun of animals, right? All right. No. What? 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. You're going to need that number right now because I got a pair of tickets for you to go see the North Charleston Pops in Bravo Broadway. That's coming to the North Charleston Performing Arts Center September the 9th. It's going to be a fantastic show. I'll take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. Caller number 7 winning a pair of tickets to see the North Charleston Pops Bravo Broadway at the PAC. It's going to be an exciting show, this evening that gets rave reviews, performed by 3 stars from the Broadway stage. Bravo Broadway, a unique evening of familiar Broadway songs, both classic and contemporary. And they're going to be performed with your North Charleston Pops, including the music of Rodgers and Hammerstein, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and others. Let's go to the phones right now and say, hey, who's this?
Shirley.
Shirley. How are you on this September the 1st?
Oh, I'm great.
I am so glad to hear that. Well, Shirley, congratulations. You're going to see the North Charleston Pops in Bravo Broadway. How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You look forward to that?
Oh, I'm very excited.
Have you ever had a chance to go see the North Charleston Pops?
No, I haven't. Yeah. This will be wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them before, and they put on such a great, great show. They are such talented musicians and artists out there. Well, good for you. Congratulations. Glad you are the winner this morning. I'm going to put you on hold, and John Quincy is going to get some information from you. All right. Here locally, you know, we had the eclipse now last month, and we were warning every single day, take care of your eyes during this eclipse. Take care of your eyes. We kept saying that and kept saying that. Well, even though a lot of people took a lot of precautions, there was a recall from Amazon about some counterfeit eclipse glasses that were being sold. Now, whoever was responsible, I really think there needs to be an investigation into this, because this was to counterfeit something as important as eclipse glasses. Oh my gosh, you should go to jail for the rest of your life. You could have blinded a lot of people out there. Well, a couple here in Charleston has filed a lawsuit of negligence against Amazon in selling the glasses they later recalled out of an abundance of caution. That was the, according to Amazon. That caused thousands of customers and these two plaintiffs headaches and other physical injuries, including temporary and permanent vision loss and or impairment. So this is a class action lawsuit that they've filed against Amazon in federal district court here in Charleston, saying that the company sold these. I don't know how far this lawsuit is going to go, because Amazon did issue a recall, and I think the onus is going to be to prove that the actual damage was done to their vision or whatever. But according to this suit, Corey Thomas Payne and Kayla Harris purchased a three-pack of the recalled eclipse glasses on August the 1st. The suit says that the couple didn't receive notice of Amazon's recall and used the glasses during the solar eclipse on August the 21st. And they say that later on that day, they started to experience pain and discomfort, headache, eye watering, and other symptoms. And so they have filed a lawsuit. The suit says that Amazon's August 19th recall of the glasses was tragically too little and too late. Well, there you go. We'll see how that that lawsuit goes. Coming up, Chantel Helms, she's a member of the Black Lives Matter community, and she's got a list for you white folks out there. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 21 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Coming up this morning, it is Flush It Friday, brought to you by Roto-Rooter. We're going to be flushing the most ridiculous news story of the week, and here might be one of our candidates. I think I've already got one in my mind that I'm going to be flushing today, because when I tell you this story coming up, you're going to go, oh yeah, that's the one. That is absolutely ridiculous. But this story right here is unbelievable. There's a woman named Chantel Helms, and she has come up with a list of things that white people need to do. That's right. She's come up with this list. Do you want to hear the list? Of course you do. Number one, white people. Now, remember, she's with Black Lives Matter. If you don't have any descendants, will your property to a black or a brown family, preferably one that lives in generational poverty. Number two, black people. If you're inheriting property that you intend to sell upon acceptance, give it to a black or brown family. You're bound to make that money in some other white privileged way. Number three, if you're a developer or a realty owner of multifamily housing, build a sustainable complex in a black or brown blighted neighborhood and let black and brown people live in it for free. Number four, white people, if you can afford to downsize, give up your home to a black or a brown family, preferably a family from generational poverty. White people, if any of the people you intend to leave your property to are racist, a-holes, change the will and will your property to a black or brown family, preferably a family from generational poverty. White people, rebudget your monthly income so you can donate to black funds for land purchasing. White people, especially white women, get a racist fired. Yeah, that's it. Y'all know what the F they be saying. You are complicit when you ignore them. Get your boss fired because they racist too. Number eight, backing up number seven, this should be easy for all those Klan Nazis and other so-and-so white men will all be returning to work. They get fired. Call the police even. They look suspicious. Oh, whatever. And we'll go on down to number 10. There's 10 things that white folks ought to do. Commit to two things: fighting white supremacy where and how you can, This doesn't mean taking up knitting unless you're making scarves for black and brown kids in need and funding black and brown people in their work. So I don't remember anything in there about education. I don't remember anything in there about bringing your people out of poverty. And she just wants things given away. There's nothing in there about personal responsibility. So this woman is obviously a nut job.
I heard yesterday that she just ought to let time take care of the problem.
Yeah.
Because in 2040, they're predicting that white people will be in the minority worldwide.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fine. I still don't understand what her point is. I mean, that is the whole mentality that got a lot of generational poverty exactly where it is. Things just being given to people. And when you take that personal responsibility away from people, then they no longer feel like they have to work for it.
No.
And it doesn't matter what race you are. It happens every time without fail or exception. When you give somebody something, they do not appreciate it. When you give somebody something for free, they don't appreciate it. So when's the last time you got something for free and you really valued it and treasured it? Now, it may have been something. Now, we're not talking about sentimental value either. We're not talking about your grandmother's china set or anything like that, because when you are given that, it has special value to you. But just giving something, hey, man, you want a free home? You want a free home? You want a free car? I gave my uncle a car one time. This is a true story. Gave him a car. It wasn't the greatest car in the world. In fact, it was the first car that I ever owned. It was a 1972 Plymouth Fury 3. Yep, buddy. It was something. It was about a city block long. It had a 426 Hemi in it. And it was huge. It was huge. It ran, but it was in bad shape, and I was getting another car. So I gave my uncle that car. And my uncle was one of these people that wanted everything given to him. Everything given to him. So I gave him this car. It was trashed within a month. Within a month, that car was gone because he didn't take care of it. Why didn't he take care of it? Because it had no value to him. I was at I don't know if you guys are golfers or anything, but there's a guy named Paul Hahn. Paul Hahn is a trick shot artist in golf, and he had a son named Paul Hahn Jr. And I was at an event one day with Paul Hahn Jr. And he's also a trick shot artist. Just amazing what he can do with a golf ball. So we were talking, and I said, what? So you do these things for free? He said, no, I don't do anything for free. I don't do anything for free. We was at a charity event. And I found out that the charity was paying him to be there. And I was like, how does that kind of sit with you, taking money from this charity? He said, I'll tell you what I do, Charlie. Say they pay me $500 to be here. They pay me $500 to be here. I bring them a benefit. And then what I will do at the end of the event is I will come back and I will donate half of that money back to the organization. Half of that money. So I get half and they get half. So instead of me coming here at a cheap price or even coming here free, which means I will have no value to the organization, I come here as an expense to the organization, and therefore I give them value, and I give myself value. He said, if you are paid for it, it's talent. If you give it away, it's a word I can't say here on the radio. So it was a valuable lesson from Paul Hahn. You should never give anything away. Everything has to have value. And if you are given something, it has no value. You could care less. You could actually care less about it. So, there you go. Little life lesson from the golf course this morning.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
$800 for a Lego set? Have you seen this thing?
It's the Millennium Falcon.
It's $800.
It's probably life size. That's why it's so expensive.
It is, in fact, the biggest Lego set ever. I'm not really sure how big this thing is. Let's take a look. 7,541 pieces.
Wow.
Making it the largest Lego set ever. Unbelievable.
And how many times are you going to cry out and say dirty words in the middle of the night when you step on one?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't even imagine that. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Folks still trying to dry out in Houston, as this is a very slow draining situation that they have down there, over there. I don't even think we have really begun to see exactly the damage that was done because of Hurricane Harvey there in Houston and the Houston area. So coming up, we're going to be talking with some people that are going to be loading up some trucks and heading out to Houston. As soon as they give us a call in, we'll talk to them, let you know exactly how you can help out. Also, Jim Merrill has resigned. He stepped down last night. He's got a hearing this morning coming up in Columbia. We're not really sure what this hearing is about. Remember, he was indicted 30 counts basically misconduct a couple of months ago. And this is all because of this hearing, this investigation that David Pasco has initiated. So we'll find out more about this when the hearing comes up today. And today is also Flush It Friday. You don't want to forget about that. We got a lot of crazy news stories out there. One of them was one that I just told you about, this Black Lives Matter activist that had this list for white people. But here is another story that you are not going to believe. I mean, seriously, when I tell you what, this is absolutely unbelievable. And it all has to do with a banana peel. That's right. A banana peel. Banana peel in a tree. All right. And it's apparently triggered some people. And they were not very happy about it. It happened in Ole Miss. Down there in Mississippi, there was a retreat, a weekend fraternity retreat at the University of Mississippi, ended early on Saturday because a student threw his banana peel away in a tree. Yeah. So they're walking in the woods, you know, a bunch of college kids walking in the woods, and some guy's eating a banana and goes, all right, well, I'm done with this, and chunks it, and it lands in a tree. And there were some students who saw it and got frightened that the peel was a racist attack. Yes, yes, banana peels are now racist. According to an article in the Daily Mississippian, three students told the National Panhellenic Council leaders that they had seen a banana peel in a tree, and they were very upset about it. The leaders then shared their concerns with the rest of the camp, and one of the attendees, a guy named Ryan Swanson, admitted, he said, hey, guys, I did it. Ryan Swanson, hey, excuse me, I put the banana in the tree. And I didn't do it because I hate people of color, or I didn't do it because I wanted to intimidate anybody. I just couldn't find a garbage can to put it in. But it didn't end there. In fact, it prompted an entire day of camp-wide conversation about racist symbolism, intended or not, the racist symbolism of the banana. A conversation that made some students feel so upset that they didn't feel safe enough to stay, which ultimately led to the rest of the retreat being canceled altogether. I know there was a banana in a tree, and I don't feel safe anymore. So this guy, Swanson, said, I want to sincerely apologize for the events that took place this past weekend. Although unintentional, there is no... This is hilarious. Listen to this. Although unintentional, there is no excuse for the pain that was caused to members of our community. There's no excuse for that. Although it was unintentional, although I just threw a banana peel away and it landed in a tree, it was no excuse. He says, I want to thank my friends in the National Panhellenic Council for their candid and constructive conversations that have continued. They have continued to have. I have much to learn and look forward to doing such and encourage all members of the university community to do the same. We must all keep in mind how our actions affect those around us differently. Well, I think you did learn a very valuable lesson, Mr. Swanson, that people are going to overreact no matter what you do. So why don't you just live your life and let other people go on with their triggering and let other people go on with their fake outrage. Let other people go on with trying to look for racism where it doesn't occur. And then I don't get it. I really don't. These people this is nuts. The guy put a banana peel in a tree and they saw it as a racist symbol.
No, it was monkey baiting.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous. So there you go. Lesson learned, I guess. You watch where you put those banana peels, young man.
WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. Coming up at 9:25 this morning, we will be giving away more tickets to join us for Sweet Night with the River Dogs coming up on Wednesday, as the River Dogs are in the playoffs, and it's going to be a fantastic night out at the Joe. We always have a good time out there, so it will be at 9:25 this morning. We'll be giving those tickets away to you. Still keeping an eye on Hurricane Irma. It is now a Category 3 hurricane. That exploded kind of quickly. Just a few days ago, it was a tropical storm. Now it's a Category 3 hurricane. There are two models in this thing. One of them, and I don't know which one I want more. Number one, the GFS model, has it kind of turning northward and going up to the mid-Atlantic and possibly making landfall here in the United States up around the New England area. Now, the good thing about that is this time of year, once it gets up in those cold, listen to me, I'm not a meteorologist, although I would love to play one on TV. But once it gets up in those cold North Atlantic waters, it's going to lose a considerable amount of steam. Remember, even Hurricane Sandy was not a hurricane when it hit. It was a tropical depression or a tropical storm. So this thing could go up to the mid-Atlantic. It'll gain some strength, of course, because right now it's in the warm waters. Once it starts hitting those cold waters, it'll take some of the, or hopefully would take some of the steam out of it. The European model has it basically going across the Costa Rica, Puerto Rico, Haiti, into Cuba, and maybe on up into Florida, maybe the Miami area there of Florida. So that's one of the other models. I don't know which one of these is best. I really don't. Because it's, the longer it stays in those warm waters after it comes off of Africa across the Cape Verde Islands, and they've got all that warm water there in the near the equator, then the more strength it has. So it's going to be a interesting couple of days to watch this thing to see how it may affect the United States. Well, I particularly have interest in this because on Monday I was supposed to land right in this storm's path right now. So not sure if that's going to happen or not just yet. So Sheila's checking out on that this morning. We may be canceling our vacation. So doggone. It has been a crazy year. And, of course, we've still got rain here in South Carolina and all of that. So, all right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250 if you'd like to give us a call. And we've been talking about a lot of stuff this morning. It's also Flush It Friday coming up at next hour. We're going to be flushing the most ridiculous news story of the week, and we have had a plenty of them. Maybe this story will be one of the stories that gets flushed today. Did you know that James Comey, during this whole Clinton investigation, remember, there's only been one presidential candidate that was in the 2016 campaign that was under investigation by the FBI, and that was Hillary Clinton. But apparently James Comey had already decided that he was going to exonerate Hillary Clinton before he even interviewed her. Before, we are finding out so much about what, I mean, this is James Comey. This was supposed to be the guy. He was the guy. Tall, good-looking guy, strong, He was supposed to be the face of the FBI, the untouchables. He was supposed to be incorruptible. And now we're finding out just how corrupt this guy seems to be. Remember, he was the guy that leaked classified information to his buddy at Cornell University. That got, or Columbia University, that got this whole special prosecutor thing started. He admitted to that, ought to go to jail, but he hasn't. This information that he did leak was classified FBI information that he had on a laptop after he was no longer the FBI director, so why does he still have it? And now James Comey began drafting this exoneration statement before he even interviewed Hillary Clinton. They are calling it conclusion first and fact gathering second. There is no way, that is no way to run an investigation, according to Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley and South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. They wrote in a letter this week to the FBI saying the FBI should be held to a higher standard than that, especially in a matter of such great public interest and controversy. So Grassley and Lindsey Graham said that they learned about Comey's draft exoneration statement after reviewing transcripts of interviews with top Comey aides. According to the unredacted portions of the transcript, it appears that in April or early May of 2016, Comey already decided that he would issue a statement exonerating Hillary Clinton. They went on to say that this was long before FBI agents finished their work. So Comey decided her innocence before they even interviewed her, before this investigation was even over. So how is that impartial? How is that doing the work of the American people? How is that being untouchable? How is that being incorruptible? Well, it's not. It's absolute corruption. So the outcome of an investigation should not be prejudged while the FBI agents are still hard at work trying to gather the facts. Of course, Clinton, the Democratic presidential nominee in 2016, was investigated by the FBI for using a private email address and server to handle classified information while serving as Secretary of State. Incorruptible? Hardly. Already making a, that's like already deciding if somebody is guilty before they even enter the courtroom. And remember, doing this investigation, when they interviewed Hillary Clinton, they didn't put her under oath. Now, that's kind of telling to me. Although it is illegal anyway to lie to the FBI, you just can't do that. They didn't put her under oath, nor are there transcripts of this interview that they did, that she did with the FBI, nor are there recordings of this interview that she did with the FBI. And now I guess we find out why. Because if there were, then we might actually have evidence that Hillary Clinton did commit a crime. Huh? I think the criminal right now, the big criminal in this thing, is James Comey. He decided Hillary was innocent. No, he didn't decide she was innocent. No, I'm sorry. That's not what I want to say. He proclaimed her innocent. It was she was innocent by proclamation. She wasn't innocent by the preponderance of the evidence. She was innocent because of the simple fact that James Comey decided she was innocent. If you're not out, and where is the media on this? This ought to be story number one. Here's how your news blog should go on the news this morning. Hurricane Harvey, cleanup, James Comey, and this mess. Unbelievable, people.